Leo Argüello, Inés Canepa, Sergio Méndez, Alejandro Morán, Gerardo Nonel, Miguel Retamal, Rodrigo Salazar, Mariana Taules y Luz Tercero se llevará a cabo este próximo miércoles a partir de las 8 de la noche en la Sala Rosa. Suerte con todo, entonces llegó el momento de que lleguen los gritones. Cuídense mucho, estaremos de regreso en la segunda semana del mes de marzo. Un abrazo. Suerte a todos ustedes, cuídense mucho, hace frío, abríguense, hasta la próxima.
Hi, you're listening to the Palestinian Corner on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host today, Samer Latrosh, filling in for regular host Joseph Alamela, who will be away for the remainder of the month. And stay tuned with us over the next hour for news and interviews from the occupied territories in Palestine.
همگان به سر شود بی تو به سر نشود داغ تو دارد این دلم جای دیگر نشود سر شود بی تو به سر نمی‌شود داغ تو دارد این دلم جای دیگر نمی‌شود
Hi, you're back with the Palestinian Corner on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host today for today's show, Samer Latrash, filling in for regular host Joseph Elmela. We have on the show today, we're joined from the West Bank by Huwaida, who is a co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement in Palestine, to speak with us about the latest events in Palestine and ongoing ISM campaigns. Huwaida, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Huwaida, how are you doing?
So
I hope I introduced you right. You are a co-founder of the ISM, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Quite a few people have heard about the ISM in Canada and America, especially after the recent year with the deaths of two ISM activists, Rachel Corey and Tom Herndl. What's going on with the ISM now? You know, what's the core of what you're doing?
ISM is still engaged in the kind of work and efforts that it was founded to engage in, and the International Solidarity Movement was founded to support and strengthen the Palestinian nonviolent resistance that is taking place in throughout the occupied territories that has been taking place for many years, and sadly has been largely ignored by the international community as they choose to only focus on the Palestinian armed resistance and to condemn the Palestinian armed resistance and not pay any attention to what the Palestinian people are actually struggling for, which is their freedom. The Palestinian freedom struggle has been greatly distorted in the international community, and sadly, the formal body set up to basically to maintain world order and to protect people's human rights everywhere have failed to live up to their obligations to the Palestinian people. And they continue to be oppressed here by a massive military force that is trying to take their land, but without the people. And as the Palestinian people struggle to stay on their land, they have for many years and continue to today to utilize many various forms of nonviolent action and nonviolent struggle. And the world just seems to disregard this. And so the International Solidarity Movement, the idea was to unify people's actions everywhere, that this is not just a Palestinian struggle. It's a struggle that people everywhere who believe in human rights and dignity, equality for people, not based on race, religion, or ethnicity, but based on the fact that we're all human beings, can join this struggle. And certainly for the past 2.5 years that we have been mobilizing and organizing, we've had about over 2,000 people come join us in the occupied territories from all across the globe, of all different ages, 18 to about 80, all different socioeconomic and religious backgrounds. They have come here to say that, you know, we do not approve of this continued occupation. We are with freedom for the Palestinian people, and we train these activists in various means of dealing with violence, of to de-escalate violence, and we orient them to the situation, though most of them are very well aware of what's happening here. They're certainly not new to the Palestinian freedom struggle, and we put them to live in Palestinian communities and join the efforts of farmers, of mothers, of college students to survive and to organize to resist the occupation policies.
So, Huwaida, about a year ago, the ISM made quite a bit of news in Canada when a activist who was going on an ISM delegation, Jaggi Singh, was arrested on the border and detained for a few days. And he was denied entry, initially denied entry into Israel, but the Israeli Interior Ministry then, you know, basically went along with him, and he went into the West Bank in Gaza. And I've been reading that quite a bit of ISM activists have been detained, denied entry into the occupied territories, along with even Israeli activists who go into the territories in solidarity with the Palestinians to take part in nonviolent resistance. What explains the Israeli government's treatment of nonviolent activists in such a fashion?
Well, part of the occupation, part of the strategy, we believe, of the occupation is to isolate the Palestinian people, to make them feel very cut off, not only from the international community, but from each other. And we see that here on the ground with the system of checkpoints and roadblocks and the fact that a Palestinian from one city is not allowed to be in another city or to travel on roads to another city without special permission from the Israeli army. And so the Israeli military and government have effectively separated Palestinians from each other. Now, every Palestinian that wants to travel abroad needs to get permission from the Israeli army, and the Israeli army controls every entrance and exit into all Palestinian areas, so effectively they control who has access to the Palestinian people. Now, this is a policy of control, and it is meant to isolate the Palestinian people and create this overwhelming feeling of isolation. And for the most part, you would think that it works, except for the amazing spirit of people that still find a way to communicate with their friends and loved ones that they haven't seen, and manage to get to their schools, to their work, to their universities, when in effect, according to the policies of the Israeli military, they're not allowed to. Now, with the what I call a phenomena of international solidarity over the past couple of years, and the international solidarity movement is just part of this. I think what we think is that the Israeli military and government has seen this as a threat, that people are coming here and they're witnessing what is happening, and they continue to seek to stop it. This has, with, you know, our first campaigns, it started as delegitimizing efforts by the Israeli government, saying that the people that come over here are propaganda ploys, or they support terrorism, or they're naive troublemakers. And then when it was starting to show that this was not dissuading people, and people were writing about what they were seeing, and they were talking about what they were seeing, and they were joining Palestinian nonviolent resistance. Now, this, we believe, is a danger. We believe Israel knows how to deal with violence, but they would be powerless to deal with strong nonviolence. And Israel has effectively broken these methods in the past, but now that Palestinian civilians are being joined by Israelis and internationals, we believe it's becoming more threatening. So they are trying to stop anybody that they consider a Palestinian sympathizer, is how they say it at the borders. They will deny them entry, and by their own admission or count, they have denied over 1,000 people entry, and they have deported well over 60 just international solidarity movement activists over the past couple of years. And now they actually have, since May of 2003, they have tight restrictions on Gaza. Nobody is allowed to enter without special permission from the Israeli military, so you have to apply for permission and you have to get approved. And the only way you're approved is usually if you're a journalist, or you're from an organization that Israel recognizes or has decided to give permission to enter. So tourists, family, visitors, or anyone coming to see or document what's happening in Gaza is not allowed in. And the same with the West Bank. On January 4th, there was a new printed order that the Israeli authorities are giving out now at the border to anyone they suspect of wanting to visit Palestinian areas, that they are not allowed to be in Palestinian areas, effectively areas A, according to the Oslo Accords.
So there is
if they are caught in these areas, they could be arrested, deported, and denied future entry into the country.
So internationals now are denied entry as of January 4th into areas A, into the supposedly Palestinian autonomous areas?
Yes, although I hesitate to use Palestinian autonomous areas because there aren't any. The Israeli military is all over the place. But yes, it's a little bit harder for them to enforce in the West Bank because for the longest time also, you know, we have been using various methods to get around Israeli military checkpoints because they don't want international observers. They don't want human rights workers anywhere in the Palestinian areas where the Israeli military is operating. So even during times of great siege and invasion and Israeli military operations against civilian areas, they have been preventing people from getting in, even journalists sometimes, from getting into these areas. And ISM has been, you know, working to find various ways in and around. And so according to the Israeli military and government, yes, internationals are not allowed in Palestinian areas. They have a tight seal around them. Some areas we can manage to get in. Some areas are a little bit more difficult, like Gaza is very difficult. It's absolutely closed.
Well, when Jaggi Singh and more lately another Canadian activist, Stefan Christoff, were barred from coming to Israel, the government cited, quote, security concerns, that they would be security threats to Israel. Is this something, I mean, is security something that is often used to basically justify or to kind of give a stamp of legitimacy to the practices that you're giving? And when we hear here of security, that Israel is barring people from going to the areas due to security. Israel is building a wall now because of security. Has security become another name, so to speak, for basically isolating the Palestinians and isolating them from the international public eye?
Exactly. Actually, you've said it. What Israel holds up, what they've been actually using and abusing this term security without recognizing that you cannot have security at the expense of other people's lives, livelihoods, and their human rights. And what they've done, we can tell you from personal experience, like they term the international solidarity movement as a security threat. Why? Because we see and record what the Israeli military is doing, violations of human rights, and we support Palestinian nonviolent resistance. So this is a security threat. The Israeli military has tried to get the Israeli courts to formally label the International Solidarity Movement as an illegal organization because it's a security threat. And the Israeli courts have thus far not done so. But what happens with activists like Jaggi and Stefan that come in is they are the Israeli Secret Service labels, you know, anyone they suspect of being a Palestinian sympathizer in any way, human rights or a peace activist, they will immediately stop them and label them a security threat and just organize with the Israeli Ministry of Interior to deny these people entry. And there's really not much due process. Jaggi was able to immediately get in touch with a lawyer who did manage to, you know, submit an appeal to stop the deportation. The Israeli government actually is trying to stop that, even the and visitors' rights to any kind of to appeal in any way the denial of entry. But that's what happens. The Israeli Secret Service, or Secret Service, or what we call the Shin Bet, or the Mossad here, they organize and coordinate with the Israeli Ministry of Interior, and all they say is security, and that's it. The ministry, you know, rubber stamps this denied entry. And unfortunately, I mean, hundreds of people been denied entry, and if they arrest people here for example, lots of demonstrations. We join Palestinian civilian demonstrations, students, farmers, women. If they arrest international activists, they deport them.
So what is happening right now in the West Bank and Gaza? What is there to report that Israel or the Shabak are trying to not get out or not let there be known? Because ISM recently, I think there was a press release saying that Israel is trying to cover its human rights abuses in the West Bank through these measures. What's going on right now?
Well, for sure, there are daily abuses of human rights here, too many to even record. Freedom of movement, freedom of education, freedom to work and feed your family, to have access to medical care. These are daily violations that are perpetrated by these military checkpoints and roadblock and restrictions on Palestinian movement because they are Palestinian. But probably the thing that you're most hearing about, or one of the biggest concerns now to the Palestinian people, is this massive wall that the Israelis are building under the guise of a security fence. Now, you know, walls have never worked in history, and it's actually mind-boggling that the international community is actually letting this happen again, letting walls go up around communities to imprison people based on their ethnicity and religious affiliation. But it's happening here in the occupied territories. So far, about 100,000 Palestinian olive and fruit trees have been uprooted, and land has been raised for the path of the wall coming in, and only one-third of the wall has been completed. Now, some people, you may have heard wall, you may have heard fence, and this massive structure is both. In some areas, it takes the form of a 25-foot-high or 8-meter-high massive concrete wall that completely surrounds Palestinian towns and villages. And in some other areas where the terrain is not quite right for a concrete wall, it has taken the form of a maximum security fence that's about 3 meters high, topped with barbed wire, security cameras, and motion sensors. And if Israel was building this on the internationally recognized border between Israel and the occupied territories, okay, it might be a little bit understandable, but it's not. It's cutting very deeply into Palestinian territory. It's completely surrounding Palestinian towns and cities and creating these ghettos, which isolate Palestinians from their farmland, from their water wells, from their source of livelihood. And it has turned, I can't think of a better term except ghettos, and it's very sad to have to use this term, but basically entire Palestinian villages and cities are surrounded by the structure where the structure has been completed, and Palestinian villagers that live inside have to request special permission from the Israeli military to exit and enter through an iron gate. And the Palestinian representative to the United Nations has asked for this issue, the legality of the wall and the fact that it violates basic Palestinian rights, to be brought in front of the International Court of Justice. The International Court of Justice is supposed to rule on this on February 23rd. And people here are hoping and praying that the world will not just sit by and let this happen again. But we see that it is, because bulldozers are working and they're uprooting trees, and people, simple people, farmers, children, women, old and young, are using what they have, just their voices and their bodies, to try to protect everything they know, their source of livelihood, and whatever kind of future